Good morning, all. It's great to see you all. So we're in Ephesians 6, and I want to read verse 10 to 18. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I don't know about you, but I'm a visual person, and I hope that this will help us. It's a bit dark, I know. But he's a Roman soldier, and this is what they were used to seeing around at this time. And you can see his full armor there, and this is what they were wearing. And so far, we've looked at two aspects of the armor. We looked at the belt of truth. This is a life that measures up to God's standard of truth. It is the character of integrity. And that is what holds the rest of the whole armor in place and keeps us from falling and keeps us from tripping, keeps us from losing the armor. And Dave spoke last week and he covered the breastplate of righteousness. And this is the character of godliness. It describes our position before God. He looks at us and sees righteousness because of our faith in Jesus. It also has to do with our actions. We are to choose to do what is right. So we've got on the belt and the breastplate secured, and now Paul says that we need the right footwear. Now, when I started to prepare around this, I was thinking, how on earth can I speak a whole sermon on feet? I don't know what your perception is or your idea is when you think of feet. Some people like feet, some people don't like feet. Some people like to touch feet, some people don't at all. Some people find their feet very ticklish. Some people find it awkward to talk about their feet. So I hope you're in one of these categories this morning and you're ready to go on a journey to talk about feet this morning. Now, I haven't shared a lot about Oasis as of yet, and I will share a little bit of that today as it fits in with what I'm talking about. Now, the whole theme for Oasis was based on the Olympics, and all the games were centered around this. So we had an open ceremony, we had a closing ceremony, we had a medal ceremonies. It was amazing, some of our youngsters that went to see them with a bronze, a gold and a silver medal by the end of the week. And so we had a heptathlon, an octathlon, another lawn. I can't remember all the names, but we went through the whole lot. And I don't know if you watched much of the Olympics. It's still busy. It's the last day. If you don't know, but it's the last day today. And if you have, you might not have noticed that many different athletes use all sorts of different shoes. Have you paid any attention to the shoes they were wearing, or were you just looking at what they were doing? Because I was in the process of preparing for this, and I started to look and notice all the different shoes. Because in sports, you have a definite advantage if you're wearing the right shoes. You have tennis shoes, track shoes, jogging shoes, football shoes, trail running shoes, cycle shoes, and I can probably carry on like this for a little while longer. And any serious athlete will have the right shoes. They give you what you need to hopefully succeed and come out on top and win this much coveted medal. You must see some of the joy on their faces when they suddenly realized that they won a gold or a silver or bronze medal, and all the tears that go with it and all the emotion that go with it. But it's not just in sports that you need the right shoes. When I did my expedition leader training for DfV, they talked in great length about the right shoes for long distance expeditions and walking in general. Because the first time I thought they were starting to talk about shoes, I was thinking, what are they going to talk about and how? And then after a while, you start to realize how important it is to actually wear the right shoes. When I teach horticulture in school, I'm wearing steel-toe cap shoes to protect my feet. And so does the youngsters that are in on the course. But just like sports, our spiritual war that we are fighting in requires the right footwear. And this is a third part of the armor that Paul describes in this passage. Now, the shoes of a Roman soldier, I don't know if you know this, but they were a very important part of the armor. Because the soldiers often had to march upwards of 30 miles in a single day. And if they didn't have good shoes, they would be unable to make the journey and unable to enter into battle. It's not just that they were not just wearing shoes and a tunic. They were wearing their full armor as well. And they were walking for around 30 miles an hour. Anyone fancy going on a walk 30 miles an hour in full armor? And they would be able to then go into battle as well. But they would be unable to make the journey and unable to enter into the battle if they were not wearing the right shoes. The shoes of a soldier were open-toed like a sandal, and they tied securely above the ankle as well as just over the calf. They were custom-fitted to each soldier's feet because every foot is different. There was a thick leather upper part that covered the shins, and the soles were extremely thick and durable because very often enemies would sharpen sticks and other objects and they would lay them as traps along the road. And if a soldier did not have thick soles and the object passed through the shoe into the foot, that soldier could no longer march. Therefore, they could no longer fight. The Roman soldier's shoe had another interesting characteristic. In hand-to-hand combat, the kind of battles that these soldiers were engaged in, taking and keeping ground was essential. If an army could push you back, the soldiers in the rear had no room to advance. Your lines would begin to collapse upon themselves, and you stood a chance of being overwhelmed by the enemy. So in order to enable the soldiers to hold their ground and to dig in for the fight, the Romans would drive nails through the soles of the shoes called hobnails. As you can see there, they're fancy wearing shoes like that and walking around in them. Hobnails were short, stubby nails that would stick out the bottom of the shoe and dig into whatever terrain the soldier was marching on and fighting on. This enabled the army of Rome to not only stand their ground, but to push the enemy back as well. So the shoes enabled the Romans to march to battle, hold their ground in a fight, and push forward when things got tight. Now for us Christians, as we seek to hold our ground and to stand firm in the fight, we need to be wearing the right shoes. The King James says that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod means to bind tightly. As with the belt and the breastplate, the feet are to be firmly fastened, a part of who we are. In the NIV, it says that our feet should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, what does that mean, the gospel of peace? There we go. Scholars have said that this verse is one of the toughest verses in the New Testament to translate from the original Greek into English. If you would look at a more word-to-word translation, it would sound like this. We are to have put on, as shoes for our feet, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So there are two elements here. The first is the gospel of peace, and the second is the readiness that comes from this gospel that Paul is referring to. Now, I want to unpack these two a little bit this morning. So if we look first at the gospel of peace, because the second aspect, the readiness, depends on and comes from this part, the gospel, specifically the gospel of peace. So the shoes that we are to wear are made specifically to stand on the truth of God's word. If we try and stand on any other ground, we will fall. And you're going to see that there is a little bit of overlap here. The belt and the breastplate both had to do with God's truth, and it continues with the shoes. However, each part speaks of a different aspect of the truth. So what I hope that you're beginning to see is that, as a general rule, putting on this armor and beginning to reflect this character change in our lives that will allow us to stand means knowing and loving the truth. So far, the truth holds us together, it guards our hearts, and allows us to stand. And in the coming weeks, we'll see that it can be used as an offensive weapon as well. The armor of God is all based on the truth found in the nature of God and found in the Bible. So when Paul uses the phrase gospel of peace, we need to turn to God's word to see what he's referring to. Because the gospel is full of references to peace. It is central to understanding salvation, to making it through this life, and to being the church that we are called to be. The Greek word that is translated peace here is eirana. It means that which has been bound together. It's the idea of two things that once were separated and against each other are now joined together and being held together in an unbreakable bond. And the first peace that we see in Scripture is the peace with God. It's through the work of Jesus that we are bound with God. Two parts that were separate and against each other are now joined in an unbreakable bond. I never get tired of this reality. This is the good news of the gospel. We were God's enemies and at war with God because of our sins. And Jesus Christ came to bring peace, and he died for our sins on the cross. And now we are joined together with him in this unbreakable bond. Romans 5 verse 1 says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And when we understand this reality, we can combat the attacks of Satan when he tries to tell us that we are not good enough for God, when he tries to convince us that God cannot be known or would never draw near to someone like us because of our sins and our shortcomings. We can stand with confidence and say, God and I are at peace. It's all good. And that is a part of the gospel of peace. And there is a massive, massive power in that truth. But not only do we have the gift of peace with God, but we also have been given the peace of God. When life is challenging, when money is tight and the bills are long, when relationships are crumbling and we don't know if we can make it another day, we have the peace of God. And this is not a promise of ease and comfort, but it's a deep-seated peace that comes from understanding that God is in control and that even when it feels that we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil because God is with us and it's only a matter of time until He leads us back to that green pasture and lays us down beside still waters because we serve a God who loves us. At Oasis, we looked at Psalm 23 and the speaker covered what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and how reassuring it is that you're only walking through it, that you don't stay there and that God is with you when you are in that place. And this is a peace that no man can give us. Philippians 4 verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man can't understand it because man can't give it or come up with it on its own. The peace that we can offer is an unstable one and always based on what we can do or provide. The peace that God brings is completely different. This is based on what God can do and provide. We have the peace of God. Well, how do we get it? Well, listen to the verse before this one. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God's peace is a gift that comes when we give it to God and trust that He will accomplish His will in every situation. Now, too many times we give it to God and then we take it back again so that we can worry and try and figure it out on our own. Or am I the only one who does this? You want peace? Believe God. You want peace? Trust God. Rest in Him and you will have His peace. Again, this is an essential part of our defense. Satan will try to convince you that God doesn't care or that God can't accomplish something that we are asking Him for. Stand with the peace of God. Knowing that God cares and that God listens and answers and is able to work out any circumstance in our lives for our good. So we have the peace of God, the peace with God, the peace of God, and we are also called to have peace with others. The first one has to do with our relationship with God. The second one has to do it is a gift of God from God to us. And this aspect of the gospel of peace is our response. That we need to have peace with each other. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says this, make every effort to live in peace with all men. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, live in peace with each other. Romans 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Mark 9, verse 50, and be at peace with each other. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Do you start to get it? We need to have peace with each other. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15, God has called us to live in peace. Romans 14 and 19, verse 19 says this, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Over and over again, we see the Bible is telling us to live in peace. And the importance of this when we talk about spiritual warfare are fairly obvious. This is one of the things that Satan is trying to destroy in the church. When there is no peace among the members of a church, there can be no unity. And when there is no unity in the church, the focus will always remain insight on what is happening among the people already in the church and not on the outside, on those who need to hear the gospel. And if the church tries to shift the focus to the outside, people come in and they don't see the unity and they don't see peace at work, well, they might not stay. And I think that Satan keeps so many elders busy with putting out little fires between the people of the church that they can't concentrate on God's command to make disciples. And we've got to see the bigger picture of what the church is called to be and be at peace with each other so that there is unity in the church and so we can be used by God together to change the world. As long as there is one unsaved soul left outside of these walls, we all have a common mission and calling by God to reach the lost. And this can't happen when we don't have peace. When someone says something that offends you, choose peace. When you get overlooked for something that you did in the church, choose peace. If you aren't happy with every little aspect of the service or don't like the preaching, choose peace. And this will make a world of difference in this place and in your life, and you will be a peacemaker. So the gospel of peace is threefold. We have peace with God, we receive the peace of God, and it's time that we strive in everything that we do to have peace with each other as well. Each aspect strengthens and empowers us to stand when we understand the implications of them in our lives and how we can use this truth to fend off the attacks of our enemy. But there's another aspect to these shoes, though. Paul says that there is a readiness that comes from this gospel of peace. When we have feet that are fitted with peace, we need to be ready at a moment's notice to enter the action. It may look like things are under control and we can just sit back and relax, but the gospel of peace, it fills with calls and commands to action. So don't put on your shoes and just sit on the sofa. We need to be ready at all times to jump into action. The soldiers' shoes dug in and did not allow them to be pushed back. We need to be ready as Christians, Paul says, to stand our ground. We can't allow ourselves to be tossed back and forth and blown here and there. And what does this mean for us practically today? We've got to learn to defend our faith. We've got to learn to stand up for what we believe. The enemy wants to convince us that we don't know enough, so we should keep our mouths shut. But how are we going to answer the questions around evolution? How do we answer the questions around suffering and evil? Where do we stand on abortion? Where do we stand on all the other issues that are going round in our society at the moment? We have to strap on our shoes and be ready to stand our ground. And we need to stop believing the lies of the enemy that we've got nothing to say about those things, because we do have some amazing things to say about this. Who has ever played tug of war? I've many times on the camps. It's one of my favorite games. And the team that won was always the one with the one in the back with the rope around his waist that refused to give up ground. I was one of those. But that wasn't all he did. Once he had established position, he began to move and take new ground, moving backwards and not giving in. Feet that are fitted with the gospel of peace need to be ready. The spikes in the soldier's shoes help them to push forward and take enemy ground. And we are to grow up. We are to be moving forward. The Christian walk can be measured by growth. We are not made to be the same year after year after year. If you look back at your walk with God last year and you don't know if you're grown or not, there is something wrong. We need to continue to grow in our faith, in our deepening our relationship with Him. Finally, we need to be ready to carry the good news. When the battle was won, a soldier would run as quickly as possible to inform those who needed to know of the good news. The right shoes were vital to this journey. In our lives, one of the functions of these battle shoes is the preparation and readiness to go anywhere that God leads to share this gospel of peace with other people. We are surrounded with people that need the answers that we have, that need the hope that we have, and they need the peace that we have. And yet for so many of us, while the world outside is turning further away from God, these shoes sit by the door while we remain unmoved inside. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone else? It was amazing to see during Oasis that young people became Christians, that for the first time in their life, they accepted Jesus as their Savior. But do we have to wait to Oasis 2025 to see this happen again? I know we haven't covered the following verses in our series of Romans yet, but Romans 10 verse 13 says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he goes on to say very logically, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And we are those people, the good news bearers. Those beautiful feet are wearing these shoes. And I hope to laughter today that you will never look the same at your feet again. Shoes that are ready to go and share. We can't count on someone else to do this. We all meet different people. The people that I meet tomorrow are different than the people that you will meet tomorrow. Some will be overlap when people come to the food bank and we're here with a few people. But I will probably meet other people than you will do tomorrow. But we all have a task, and that's to bring the good news. Whenever we have an opportunity. On Friday, I went to Winterbourne Gardens with one of my colleagues from Woodrush, Andy. And we went on a recce to see if we could take young people there from school with the horticulture course. And while we were having, when we had finished our lunch, and we said, oh, shall we go in the house? Because they just do not only have a garden, they've got a house as well. I said, oh yeah, let's go in the house. And we stopped at the first sign in the house and started to read what it was all about. And suddenly Andy said to me, he said, oh, he was a Unitarian. I said, what, do you know what the difference is? And we had a whole conversation about the difference between Unitarians and Christians and what we believe. And we started to talk, well, I had an opportunity to start talking about the Trinity. And about, I mean, it's not the easiest subject to talk about, eh? But we stood there in this house having a conversation for at least 10 minutes about the Trinity. And he said afterwards, he said to me, he said, I've never seen it like that before in my life. I said, thank you for that. And I was thinking, how amazing is this? That you are in the middle of a house and you have this conversation. And did he become a Christian? No, he's not there yet. But am I praying for Andy? Of course I'm praying for him. And I hope that I get another opportunity to talk with him about some of this stuff. And this is what I'm talking about. Are we ready to share whatever we have to share with people? We all have an amazing story to tell. Your story, how you became a Christian, is unique to you. Nobody in here in this room has the same story. And it might just be that your story will just touch the heart from someone that makes them turn around, walk away from the ways that they're going and turning to Jesus. We need to be ready to share the truth at every opportunity that God gives us and to anyone that will listen. God will give us chances and His Spirit will give us the words that we need to speak, and He will do what only He can do, and that is His saving work. The two aspects of this part of the armor are the knowledge of the peace and then acting upon that knowledge and being ready and prepared for the battle. For some of us, it might be the time to take off the comfy slippers and have our feet fitted with peace. We have peace with God and are promised the peace of God if we let things go and trust Him. The question is this: will you accept that peace this morning and lay down whatever burden it is that you're carrying with you? You can have this peace that passes all human understanding. And we can have peace with each other. And we can have peace with ourselves even. We are made to have peace and to experience unity in the body that is the church. When we have this peace, we need to be ready to stand, ready to grow, ready to share with all who will listen. And there's only one source of peace in this world, and that peace is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are at this morning. Maybe you're not at peace at all. But know that you can have this amazing peace. Maybe there's things in your life that you worry too much about at the moment, and maybe you just need to let them go and give them to Jesus. And don't take them back. But just leave them there. Leave them with Him. And ask Him to deal with those things. Maybe you're sitting this morning and maybe you've never ever accepted Jesus as your Savior in your life. And maybe some of the things what I've shared about having this peace has touched your heart. Maybe today is the moment for you to accept Him as Lord and Savior and to step in that peace. The peace that only He can give us. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank You for this passage in Ephesians. Lord, we don't very often talk about warfare in the church. But Lord, we do know that we are in a spiritual battle. And it's all going on around us. And Lord, I pray that You will help us in these next couple of weeks when we dive deeper into this armor of God. Lord, I pray that You will open our eyes and that You will prepare each and every one of us for the fight, for the battle. Knowing that we are not having to fight against people of blood and flesh, but against the rulers of this world. But knowing as well that we have the victory because You are on our side. And Father, I do want to thank You for our feet. I want to thank You that we can fit them with Your peace. Lord, and I pray that You will help us to be ready every single minute of the day. Lord, that when we hear that whisper from Your Holy Spirit to go and talk to so and so, that we will act on it and do it. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will inspire us and give us the words that we need. Lord, to speak peace, to be peacemakers, and to spread Your word, to bring the gospel. Lord, I pray that this afternoon, when we meet people, or tomorrow at work, or wherever we go tomorrow, Lord, I pray that we will be bold. Bold to share about You. Bold to bring our testimony. to share the amazing story of what you have done in our lives. Lord, and I pray for people here in this room that are not at peace at the moment, but are worrying. Lord, I pray that you will help them to let go of the worry and leave it with you. Lord, I pray that when there are people here, either that have never experienced your peace, Lord, that they will accept you as Lord and Savior in their life and will receive the peace that you can bring and that you bring to each and every one of us. So, Father, I pray that you will go with us. Lord, and we can, we're looking forward to hearing testimonies of what you have been doing. Lord, about the conversations we've been having with people. Lord, about the conversions we're seeing. Lord, about the baptistry that will be opened and people will be baptized. Lord, I'm looking forward to those times. I'm looking forward to hearing those testimonies. Lord, about what you do and how you work and how you do what you do best, and that is the saving. Lord, we're looking forward to see your kingdom advance here in Hollywood with all and wherever we are based. Lord, in Jesus' almighty name, amen.